Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I move this back a little bit. I feel like the Lord dropped a thought in my heart I'd like to share with you tonight. And I'd like to start with a verse in Proverbs. The 20th chapter of Proverbs, in the 18th verse, says, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." Well, that sounds sound to me. I'm thinking about plans tonight. Making plans. If you're here, you probably plan to be here. In planning, you generally have to get things in order. It brings order. That's the idea of planning, is to make the proper things in the proper order. For instance, some things you can't do before you do something else. I can't come to Guthrie until I put gas in my vehicle. I make plans. We came out for the Christmas time, and we stopped at Spring. That was our plan when we left home, that we was going to drive to Springfield, Missouri, and we was going to stop at my daughter's for a couple days, and then we planned to leave at a certain time and go to the in-laws' house in Kansas, which we did. We made plans and we followed it. And we made plans because of order. And it's what works. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And we make plans so that we can accomplish what we want to accomplish. This is the way you make war. By sound counsel. This is the way you make in war. You just don't run into war. You prepare forces. You get the proper armament. You get the proper munitions. You get the things that you need. You put them in order. You know what you're facing. This is the way you make war, with sound counsel, good plans. This is what you do with good plans. It reminds me, though, of the fallibility of our minds. You know, the Lord said, "As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, my ways above your ways." That's a long ways above those. And so have you ever had your plans thwarted? Anybody ever had their plan? I mean, make plans down to this is the detail, and all of a sudden there's something, some unforeseen thing comes into there and changes everything. Well, we plan to go certain places sometimes, and something happens, and there was a major pileup somewhere along the line in Kentucky on our way out, and the time we planned to get there, we couldn't get there because we have no capability of being able to manipulate that. So we make plans within our humanity. And it reminds me, in World War II, there was a space there in World War II where the Allied forces were, I believe they had already went into D-Day. They had already made their way into mainland Europe, and they was going to fight their way. And Montgomery, which was a British general, come up with this plan. It was called Operation Market Garden. And he come up with this plan, and his plan was is that they would paratroop these British forces, the 22nd Airborne British unit, in behind the lines in Holland. And Brother Jim White in our congregation, he was in 101st Airborne, and he dropped in Holland to secure some roads that went in to keep the Germans from bringing forces in. So the objective was this bridge and all this, so they'd have a foothold to be able to get across the Rhine. And they had this all planned out, and Montgomery had this all planned out, and there was a lot of opposition to it, but the political forces was working, and Eisenhower was supreme commander, and he kept saying no to these things, but there was forces from the British, and he was American, and you know, politics was in it and all that. So he gives him the go ahead, and they make the plans, and the daring raid that was going to shorten the war by a year, and all these things has happened, and as the old saying is, it was a wonderful plan. It just didn't work. And then they did everything, and look, you see, they planned it down, timings, they did everything right, and they had the forces in right. The 101st Airborne done their job perfectly. They got in, they secured the bridges, the residents. But the 22nd British dropped right in on one of the, they didn't even know they were there. Their reconnaissance was poor, and they dropped them right on a big mechanized German unit with their panzers. It was a disaster. But it was good planning. It just didn't work. You know, God is a meticulous planner. We look at life sometimes, and sometimes we just don't understand God's plans. Because I wouldn't plan that like that. But God plans it to work. You can't say of God, that was a good plan, but it didn't work. The only thing that keeps God's plans from working is whether we'll do God's plans or not. God makes the plans, but within the plans sometimes, it looks like there's something that I wouldn't do that at all. That's not the way that I would accomplish that. I mean, I wouldn't walk around the city seven times and then shout. I wouldn't make a plan like that. That doesn't sound like the right plan to me. But yet God's ways are higher than our ways, and He knows what He's doing. He knows how to accomplish the things in our life that we really want to accomplish, that we really don't know how to accomplish. There's some times that you and I need to wake up, but we don't know how to wake ourselves up. Well, sometimes we need to be stirred. Sometimes when we're praying for our nation, or we're praying for our community, or we're praying for our family, or praying for an individual, we really don't understand what we're saying. Because God's plans can incorporate things that we didn't mean in our prayer. We really do mean them in the sense that we need this to happen, Lord. We really need this to happen. But does that mean some enemy flies into the trade tower? Or does that mean there's a storm that devastates the whole? What does that mean within God's world? We need to accept God's plans. Jesus run into this himself. Jesus run headlong into his Father's plans. And this was the plans. He knew what the plans was. This is the only plan that works. And yet the part of him that he taught us this. To say, not my plan, if I can use the, not my plan. Not my will, because I have a plan where I don't drink this cup. I got a plan where there's a little bit easier way into this. But nevertheless, if the plan won't work my way, Lord, help me to drink the cup. Help me to do what you want me to do. And really, isn't eternal life worth it all? I mean, down to the end of it, when we get down to the end of, no matter what we go through this life, can't we say eternal life is worth whatever I had to pay for it? Being with the Lord is worth whatever it was in the plan that I would not have chose for myself. Whatever it is, Lord, you make my plan. Because when I plan it to make me look best. Right. I plan to make me come out good. I make it so I don't hurt, or I do it right. But that's not always the way the Lord's plans work. The Lord, he testified of Job. He testified about him. Have you considered my servant Job? An upright man, hates evil, does right. Have you considered him? But there's a plan for Job. In the great mind of God, this righteous man, but there was a plan for Job. If Job follows this plan, we get the benefit of the ages of this. We get the benefit of the story. We get the benefit of a faithful man that loved God. He wanted to serve God. And I don't believe Job knew how to get to the deeper level. So there was a plan in the great heart of God to take Job in a way that nobody would choose, that allowed him to have an experience with God that almost nobody else surpasses. I've heard about him, but now my eyes have seen it. Now I have experienced the Lord in such a definite way in my life. I've known him, but there's something richer and better now. God has let me go through something and I've seen something, and now this plan of God, it worked. It worked to the fulfillment of my soul. It got me to right where I needed to go. I wouldn't have planned it. I wouldn't have planned the boils, Joe Mayo said. I wouldn't have planned the loss of my children. I wouldn't have planned the loss of my stuff. I wouldn't have planned the heartaches. Or I wouldn't have planned any of it. But if I had my plan, I'd still be back there. But God had a plan. It was beyond all of that. Do you know what tonight's message is? God has a plan for you. He brings us down very tight, very specific. And he has a plan for you. I would doubt, if I was sitting back there and the preacher was to say that he knew what our plans are, I would doubt him. I don't believe that any man knows what the plans are for every individual. God knows your plan. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he's calling to or what. But I know this, and there's no doubt in my mind at all that he is a faithful God. He's been faithful to me. He has arrested me when I've gone the wrong way. He's encouraged me when I'm down. This is a God that's got a plan for our lives. And you know, if you'll take this word, I think God's got an A plan. And I think we mess A plans up sometimes. I really believe that God's got a B plan. Because God would have us all to live in a certain way that we maybe always don't. Right? Thank God that we can make that better. But you know, the fallout of that sometimes isn't reversible. That doesn't mean God can't do something. God will have another A plan, but he's got a plan in our lives. In Jeremiah, the 27th chapter, there's a little bit of this chapter that is fascinating to my mind. In the fifth verse of Jeremiah 27, it says, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground. By my great power and my outstretched arm have I given it unto whom it seems meet unto me. Okay? God's here proclaiming himself as being creator. He did a similar thing with Job when he said, if I was hungry, would I ask you for something to eat? I've done all this and I can do with it what I want. I made these things, Job. What did you make? Here is a statement, God saying, I made the earth by my might and power. I made man and beast and put them upon the ground. And I will give it to whoever I want to give it to. And he said, and now have I given all of these lands unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. You giving that to Nebuchadnezzar? I'll give it to who I want it. And he called him my servant. But then what isn't his servant? What isn't God's servant? The hornets was his servants. The grasshoppers was his servants when he called on the grasshoppers. The storms are his servant when he calls on the storms. The all of nature is God's servants when he calls on them. I'm going to give all these that I made. You're claiming it for you. I'm claiming it back to me. I'm God. I made it. And I'll give it to whoever I want to. You all ain't doing it right. But I got a plan. I got a plan. This plan isn't to destroy you. I've got a plan. And my plan is going to run through what you would never choose. Because you would never choose to give the land to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to give it to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to let Nebuchadnezzar. And what's Nebuchadnezzar? And he says, and now I give all these lands to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his sons and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. I'm going to give it to Nebuchadnezzar. Now here's my plan. I got a plan. But Lord, I don't like that plan. This is the only plan that you can, that's really going to help you. This is the plan. If I leave you to your own, you're going to be so far gone in adultery, idolatry. You're going to be so far gone in your ways. I got a plan. A plan that you may never choose or want to have. Folks, can we look at our lives, even if it may seem evil coming, and say, this is the plan of God? Lord, plan on. Make the plan that I can't make for myself. For as a human being, I would never have given the land to Nebuchadnezzar. Never. We wouldn't either. We wouldn't give up our land. We wouldn't give up the United States to a heathen. We wouldn't do that. But I'll challenge your thought. Will God? Would God, for his people's sake, that would turn us to God? If he would do it in a collective way, will he not do it individually? Would God not plant individually things into your life that may be unpleasant? Would he choose maybe that your health be shattered? Could he choose something beyond that? Well, actually he did. In the 29th chapter, very familiar to us because we use this verse. So many things, short 11th verse of the 29th chapter. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, we use that because how hopeful is that? Isn't that a beautiful passage? The Lord himself saying, I know my thoughts towards you. They're of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You want to read up a few verses in that? He just told them. You know why he said it that way? Because he just told them, you're going to be carried off. Your enemy going to come and get you, and they're going to carry you off in all this, and you may say, God has forsaken us. God has forsaken us. God isn't with us. God gave up on us. And he says, I didn't give up on you. I know my thoughts towards you. My thoughts towards you wasn't to destroy you down in Babylon. My thoughts towards you are good. To have a good end. I'm bringing you. I've got a plan. Now you're going to have to hold on. But I've got a plan. Did the faithful people that go down in Babylon, did the faithful people to get destroyed? Was God faithful to the saints in Babylon? I mean, there was one named Daniel down there. I mean, Daniel come out pretty good in the whole thing, didn't he? I mean, Daniel come out honorable. He came out with that. The enemy, I mean, these people, heathen people, said, he's got the spirit of the Holy God in him. There's something special about this guy. Something shining out of him. I got a plan for you. I got a plan for you where you can walk right here in this world. Yeah, you'll have your troubles. But sometimes when we pray and we want God to do something, God will turn around and use us to do it. Oh, show these people the Lord. Oh, you want to pray that one? Well, he's not going to be coming down on a light beam for him. He's going to show him the servants. He's going to show him the servants. And what's he going to say? Where can he best be glorified in it? When we're doing something that is abnormal. When we act and do something in a way that is godly and unexpected and not like the world does. And God makes a plan to be able to show the world his grace in his way. He's not going to come and do it. He's going to have people like us doing it. He's going to make a plan for us. I say the Lord has planned every one of our lives into details. And I'm glad that he does. There's other scriptures I'd like to think about a little bit. Do you remember when Jesus says to his disciples, he said that he was going to go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of these evil, and he was going to be crucified and he would raise. You remember when he said that? You know, the scripture actually says that Peter rebuked him. Not so, Lord. Not so. I cannot imagine that plan. Jesus was telling him the plan. Now, Peter could have had some plans too, and they could have been really marvelous plans. They could have been in order. He could have got everything down to what he thought, how the kingdom should have come and all that. But it would have been just like Montgomery. It would have been a good plan, but it don't work. This was the plan that's going to work. This was the plan that he had to do. The disciples could not understand that plan. It seemed too far out. Too far that Jesus was going to allow this to happen. He had shown so much power and authority. Surely he could stop this. Not so, Lord. I beg you, don't do that. Lord, help us not to beg against our own salvation plan. He was actually rebuking the Lord for the plan of salvation. Because he didn't know the plan. He was rebuking him for his own eternal soul. He rebuked him for what the Lord was coming to do. He didn't know what God's plan was, and he rebuked him right in the middle of the that. Well, Lord, help us when we back off of the plan that the Lord wants to make for us in our lives too. Because there's a plan that he has developed for our life. Is anyone here bold enough to say, I don't need that plan? Can anybody absolutely, positively say, I don't need to suffer in my body in my lifetime? I don't need to. I don't need any reverses in my life. I don't want any. But I definitely can't make that claim. I really don't know what I might need. But the Lord knows how to make that plan. There's another place that it's over in Luke, the 9th chapter, where some events went on. And so some of the disciples said to Jesus, do you want us to command fire to come down like Elijah did? You know, you want us to command, we're ready to command the fire to come down and destroy these evil people. Now, aren't you glad that those disciples didn't make the plan? They was making a plan. They had a plan. Do you want us to command the fire to come down? Do Is that the way we think about the plan? When somebody comes against us, or you have, we always have this kind of thing. You get into a thing with somebody, maybe a road rage incident or something like that. Lord, smite them. You know what I'm saying? Or a conflict with the neighbor. Lord, take care of them. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? That's not the plan. What are you talking about? That's not the plan. I didn't come to destroy people. You don't got the plan wrong, brother. You got the plan wrong. You're going to choose to forgive somebody, or you're going to condemn them to something? What's the plan? The Lord showed us what the plan was. You know what? If the Lord was going to call down fire on them, he'd call down fire on me. He'd call down fire on you. We all deserve fire. He said, I didn't come to call fire. I didn't come to condemn the world. I come that the world might be saved. You got the plan wrong, disciples. You're going to have to learn the plan. Peter, feed my sheep. You love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me? Lord, you know I love you. I want this to be stuck in you. This is the plan, Peter. You're going to want to call fire down sometimes in your plan. And you're going to have to get rid of that plan and feed my sheep. And sometimes the sheep's got teeth. Sometimes they got claws on them. Sometimes there's bad words in it. Sometimes it takes something to humble to those kind of things. And he said, Peter, this is the plan. Feed my sheep. Be a shepherd. I recently heard this because it's a part of the Christmas story of why the Lord chose. Here's Jesus in a manger being born at that time, and showed the world of he come in the most innocent and most, as a child, as a baby, it shows the absolute dependency. Cannot help themselves. And Jesus came as that. And who did he call for the witness and witness to? People that take care of. True shepherds. Shepherds. You know, you don't get the mind that there's some kind of warrior or killer out there when you say, and he come to shepherds. Shepherds had to be gentle. They took care of lambs, and he took care of sheep, and he came in that way, and he wanted us to understand this plan that he came for. I call you to meekness. The plan is humility. The plan is meekness. The plan isn't the fight and the strife. That's not the plan. That's not the plan. How many times do we step outside of the plan of what God wanted us to do, what he wanted us to be, to step outside of that? Is there anybody that the Lord don't love and he won't save? And if that answer is no, he loves everybody, then I know what his plan is for me. As hard as it can be, as difficult as it might be, here's what I got to strive for. I got to strive for the love too. Because that's the plan. The plan is to touch by love. That's the plan. The plan of salvation came by Jesus, not thundering and storming and spitting and stomping and fighting and winning by the sword. He said, put the sword up. This kingdom will not be won with the sword. This is a different plan. The whole thing's a different plan than humanity's. It's one of the things he was striving with his disciples. They said things like, can I be the greatest? Then mama got involved in one time, I think, said, I want my sons to sit on your right hand. Well, that's human, but you got the plan wrong. Do you know what you're asking? Yeah, they can be. You can be. Yeah, you got the position. Come on, you want the position? He that is greatest among you, going to be servant to all. You're going to be great. This is the plan that God came to you. When we accept the Lord in our lives, we accept his plan. He not only shows us particularly our plan in our life, but he lived our plan in his life. When we looked and say, what would Jesus do in this? This is what it is. What would Jesus do in this situation? Because this is the plan that he made. We make plans all the time. We make plans and we make our orders and things. So doesn't God. One thing after another follows another. God can plan to inspire somebody to talk to you. He can inspire something else. He can inspire something else. And I remember after I got saved, that when the Lord brought something back to my mind. Because when I was a little boy, I'd go out in the yard after a rain and it'd be puddles in the yard, water. And I'd get a stick and I would put it in the edge of the pool and I'd start making a scratch. And I'd scratch and the water would follow my stick. And I could take it around and the water would follow my stick. And after I was saved, the Lord brought back to my mind when I meditated back and how did I get here? How did I get here? I got to this place and I remembered places in my life. I remembered that stick very vividly, me doing that. And the Lord said, I led you. And I remembered way back, the Lord uses all kind of things. He said, I decided to give this to Nebuchadnezzar. Well, when I was a 15-year-old boy or something, knew nothing, almost nothing about God. I remember I was in a hurry, and we always had a TV on, always. There was always a TV on. And I was hurrying, trying to go out to do something with my friends, and I was hurrying along, and I was going through the living room, and there was a TV preacher on, and he says, about the time I gone through the living room, he said, young man, the Lord wants you, something to that effect. The Lord wants you. And I stopped. And something pricked me. Oh, that's a TV. I'll give it to who I want to. It's mine. He said something that pricked my heart. I turned and run on. But I remembered that to this day, that happening. And when I remembered back the Lord doing something and me doing that with that stick, I remembered that man's face saying that. Because the Lord was after me even back then. And he was making a plan to get me in my life with the right people at the right places and to come to the right time. I'd done this, I'd done that, I'd done all this over here, and by a young man at 20 years old, I was so disappointed with life, and everything was miserable to me and all these things, and the Lord kept bringing, and he brought me right to the place that one time I had knelt down and said, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. He had a plan. The plan didn't stop there. Oh, I could go on all my life if you wanted to hear it. But it's been the plan of God bringing, working, plant. And he wants to work in all of our lives. And you know, there's been times, ask people, Will. Though I ain't saying that I fell off the deep end. I said there was times that I needed more than I had. And the Lord allowed the right thing to come into my life that made me so realize I am so out of control here. I need something. And I started calling on the Lord. And the Lord helped me because that was in the plan. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And he done this. And they was probably one of the most influential guys of the scriptures, except for Jesus himself, was a man named Saul. And Saul was, by his own account, born in the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. He says in Philippians, he gives his kid all this and all this. And you know, from the very young man, God saw him. From a very young man, the Lord looked. And the Lord began to work with him, knowing out there, there's Paul. And Paul, he said, I've done this ignorantly. But he had a passion and a desire for God. And he wanted to live for God. And he got completely warped with that and what he was doing. But God didn't give up on him because he was doing it wrong. You know, he was a persecutor of the church. Not just men either, and preachers and stuff. He was persecuting women and children. I really think, personally, I think that's what the pricks was when the Lord said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. I don't know how any man could persecute women and children without feeling something. I think the Lord was trying to say something wrong with him. He was fighting something awful hard. The Lord brought him, oh, you know that whole on the road to Damascus. You don't think God knew about that letter? You know, you're getting awful close, Paul. Come on. And here he goes. He walks right into God's plan for him. He wanted it. He wanted God's plan. He just didn't know what he wanted. He didn't know how to perform it. And the Lord proved something to him right there. I've never had that on the road to Damascus experience. But I've had my own. I've had God be meaningful to me. I've had God, I've had my experience where I said, that was God. That's God working with me. That's God right there. He led him to that place, but he wasn't through. He arrested him. He got his attention. Paul mentioned, two or three times we can read about it. I think he told when he was talking with Felix. There was different places where Paul mentioned about maybe King Agrippa, you know, where he said, I was on the road to Damascus. How many times do you suppose, I mean, there's no way to know, but how many times do you suppose that Paul started off one of his sermons with, I was on the road to Damascus? How many times do you think during his messages he said, I mean, you want to know where I'm at, why I believe what I do? I'm going to tell you, I was on the road to Damascus. That's why. And I met Jesus there. That was his plan, to give Paul a personal experience that he could not gainsay. He couldn't deny it. He had it rich and real in his soul. It converted him. God's got the same plan for you. Oh, it ain't on the road to Damascus. It might be with your head on your pillow tonight. It might be in the barn. Or it might be driving down the road in your car. But he's got a plan for you. He didn't pick out Paul to be a special person. He used Paul. And he makes plans to use us all. And I know that he wants the relationship with us all. And my burden tonight is as I look on and think of all the things we plan for. Do it in pencil, as they say. Allow the Lord the room to plan our life. I mentioned somebody before service, but Brother Sammons used to say, he was very vocal about this. Brother Sammons would say, he said, the Lord wants you to go to Monarch. He was speaking for the Lord. The Lord wants you to go to Monarch. You don't pray whether you can go to Monarch. You just pray whether the Lord don't want you to go. Going was the default. That's the way he always said it. It's important, he'd say, you need to go to Monarch. And Brother Jim White would say, I pray about everything. I go to Monarch without praying about it. I got to pray about it. I want to know what God's plan is. I want to know what he wants in my life. And I'll just say this as a witness to what the Lord does. For about a month or 6 weeks or something, one summer, Brother Jim was saying, I'd like to go to the LaRonger meeting. And I invited him. Brother Jim, go with us. We'll be gone. Go with us. For 6 weeks or so, we planned to go to LaRonger meeting. He planned to go. He talked about it. He planned to go. Come right up before we was ready to go when he said, Brother Marty, I'm not going to LaRonger. And I was like, we talked about this for 6 weeks. I'm not going to LaRonger. Well, why not? The Lord won't let me go. Okay, the old Lord won't let me go thing. All right, I mean, I don't know. Is that a believable thing? What do we do? I got this. Brother Jim said, I prayed about this and I can't get clearance from the Lord. I'm not going to LaRonger. Okay, Brother Jim, I hate that you're not going. Y'all, we prayed about going. I got down to LaRonger, and as soon as I got down there, I got a call. Brother Jim's sister passed away. You know what? I was so glad I didn't have Brother Jim with you. You know what I'd have done if Brother Jim was with me? I'd have to turn around and went back. Thank the Lord. The Lord can lead and guide. He knows what he's doing. He's got a plan. He knows how to work these kind of things. You know, in our lives, we've prayed, Lord, I don't know how to stop myself. I don't know how to lead myself. I don't know how to do that. Lord, stop us. Throw something in a... make it work right for it. You know the Lord's going to honor our hearts in that way. Lord, I appreciate your plans. I appreciate what you're doing for us in our lives. You know, sometimes we pray for our nation or we pray for our community and things will happen that seems like it's a reverse. That's just the way God does things. It's just the way he does it. Keep on praying. Keep on giving it to the Lord. Lord, we give you the right in our life to plan our days for us. Plan our life right down to the end. Plan the way, the end of our life. Because I've said many times, you know, we know that we're going to die. Well, I know I only die a certain way or this or that way. What was it when David got in trouble and there was going to be a penalty? You remember that? There was a penalty. There was a penalty with the Bathsheba thing. Didn't he tell the Lord, you choose? He was given, here's the option. Lord, you choose. I think in all of life, Lord, you choose the path of our lives. And it will be well. It'll be well with me. It'll be well with my soul. I don't know what it's going to take to get me there. I don't know. But the Lord knows. So I can say, Lord, plan it out for me. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.